In the name of Christ, who came, who is coming again, amen.
Amen.
Hey, preacher, what is in there, pointing to the chapel, besides the cookie and the coffee? That was the question I usually got when I went to my group of volunteers to minister for over 1,700 homeless in San Antonio, Texas, in a place that we call Haven for Hope. And usually when you get a question like this, you don't try to answer right away, because you need to understand what the question behind the question is. And as you talk, poke here, poke there, you kind of understand where this question is coming from. The question is coming from this idea, what do I gain of being a Christian? What are the benefits of being a Christian? Look, preacher, I have been a good guy. I know I have done many mistakes, but I read the Bible often. I went to church. I served in the church. But doesn't matter what I tried to do, everything went wrong for me. And then when I look around and I see people that never go to church, they never pray, they never honor God, and everything goes well for them. Doesn't matter what I do, everything always goes wrong with me. They have a good life. They are successful. And it seems that God doesn't care either. Continues to bless them. And I don't think this is fair. And the more I thought about this question, I realized that was not the first time I heard the question. I remember going to the hostel visiting a man that struggled with diabetes most of his adult life, and he had just lost his second leg. Both legs have been amputated. And I walk into his room, and the first thing he says, "Pastor, I don't get it. I don't get it. You see, I was baptized in the church. I was confirmed. I went to youth group. I was an elder. I served the church. I honor God. And see where I end up." Started with a little toe, then another toe, then my left foot was gone, then my knee was gone, to my knee was gone, my leg, and then the whole leg. And then a couple months later, started in the right one. And here I am. And you know what bothers me most, preacher, pastor, is that all my buddies, they drink like crazy, they eat whatever they want to eat, and it seems that they prosper. Everything is going well with them. What is in it for me to be a Christian? You see, the more I ponder about this question, I realize that I have been there too. How many times I found myself asking God why hardship and difficult times would happen to me. And not only to me, but people in the church. Or things happening in the church that really didn't go in my way, and it seemed that God didn't care. I imagine you also have asked the same question. We cannot be naive, thinking that we are here at Concordia Seminary, all professors and staff and students, those questions never cross your mind. Are you kidding me? We are not immune to thoughts like those. They cross our minds. Absolutely they do. And there is this burning question of the 21st century. Where is the Christian God? He's not paying attention to the suffering and the struggles that we see in the world. There is indeed a resentful complaint about God's distance and detachment from things that seem to be important in our lives. What is in for me as a Christian? And then, our tendency is to become indifferent from things related to the church. We slack in our spiritual life. We become skeptical. We start to have second thoughts about our relationship with God. 430 years before Christ was born, Malachi was facing the same situation in his ministry. The Israelites were upset with God, and they spoke harsh words about God. They are unhappy. And according to their own perspective, it was vain, pointless to serve God. They say in verse 14 of our text, what do we gain if we meet all God's standards? Or if we walk around feeling sorry for what we have done? And they look around. And what did they see? They saw the arrogant people being blessed. And then they concluded, not only the evildoers prosper, but they even put God to test and they get away with it. Where is the God of justice? And they decide to take the matter in their own hands and do things in their own way. They start to lax in their spiritual life, in their moral life. They start to bring unclean animals to the altar to be sacrificed to the Lord. And you know what is worst? The priests that are in charge of the worship in God's house, they offer those sacrifices. They didn't care. People start to be unfaithful to God, unfaithful to God's law. Well, if the wicked people can do and get by with this, why cannot we do the same? Besides, God doesn't need our offerings. Yeah, at the end of the day, we're going to bring something to him in his altar. But doesn't pay to follow God. But don't fool yourself. Because the Lord is watching. Yeah, he's paying attention. Malachi says that the Lord is watching, he's paying attention. The ministry of Malachi is to God, it's to call God's people back into repentance. He says, for I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Malachi reminds God's people that he never, ever changes. Yes, he will condemn sin, but he will also show mercy and forgiveness. And among the people, there are people that listen to this call to repentance. They not only listen, but start to talk to one another, like kind of encouraging one another and say, we need to return to the Lord. Yes, we do. The Lord was not pleased with the harsh words that he heard spoken against him. But indeed, he was paying attention. And he realized that some of the faithful repented and returned to him. And then God says, I have a book of remembrance that is written before me to those who fear the Lord and esteem my name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession. And I will spare them as a man may spare his son who serves him. In the ancient times, kings in the Middle East, they had a book that they called Book of Remembrance. In this book, they recorded names of people that were loyal to the king. And when they had their names written in the book, that means that they would receive something from the king, even if the king would die. Now, the Lord says that he also has a book with names written in it, a book that is books of remembrance. And the names that are written there are your names, it's my name. I started my sermon this morning talking about this resentful complaint about God, that God is detached of us, God that doesn't care, far away. Malachi, however, reminds us that God does care, that he cares a lot. He cares a lot about us, even when we don't serve him faithfully. We change. We are the unfaithful ones. But God, Malachi says, he doesn't change. He is faithful, and he fulfills all his promises. Yesterday, if you have been in church, you knew that, or you heard that, is the Sunday of the fulfillment. What has been fulfilled? The end of the liturgical year, yes, but it's more than that. It's the fulfillment that Christ the King is coming back to judge the living and the dead. Yeah, he's coming to fulfill what God has said and promised in the scripture. That is the last day, appointed by God when he will judge. And then we'll see what's happening in Malachi. God will make a distinction between the righteous one and the wicked one. Between the one that have served him and the ones that didn't serve him. But don't fear. As we look forward to Christ that is coming with his power and mighty, as we look forward, we have to look to the mirror. Rear mirror and see what is behind you. What is behind you? What do you see behind you? You see Christ the crucified, the son that God did not spare, the son that served God faithfully so that we could be spared. What do you see? You see Christ on the cross, interceding and praying for people that said and did things that didn't know what they're doing. What you see behind you? You see Christ, the King, inviting the repentant sinner into his kingdom. That's what you see. As you look forward waiting for Christ, remember what he has done on the cross for you. And then you are reminded that you are also a treasure possession, that you are and you shall be his. And that's what God is telling us. Do you know how much I care for you? Look not only ahead of you, but look behind. Look what my son has done for you. Welcome into my kingdom. Amen. And the peace of God, which transcends all our understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.